important to PCMC, pop culture, man, children, your one-stop shop for pop culture musings, pop culture ephemera. I love the word ephemera. We do podcasts about TV and movies and books and listicles and fun things like that. New
toys,
and old. What'd you say?
Commercials. I was like, toys,
toys.
Commercials.
Not so much commercials, but commercials sometimes come up on our longer episodes. Sometimes food, we're trying to get more food in lately.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. We did a nice Applebee's episode I'm very proud of. That is the voice of my friend of yours, Nadia Cater.
Hello, hello.
Nadia, how are you?
Oh, man. Feeling good. I think I'm overall
good.
good. How about you?
I'm doing good right now in life. I'm doing good. A week ago, I was pretty fucking sick. So I'm still in that place where I'm grateful that I'm not sick, which we should all hold on to every day, right? Every day you're not vomiting, you should be like, you know what? I'm not vomiting right now, and that's a fucking win.
That's true. That's
Yeah.
absolutely true. It's also a weird time where all these like old viruses and diseases and stuff are coming back that we forgot about.
I
So
know,
like,
so retro.
yeah,
What, the
whooping cough.
measles?
Yeah, I was thinking measles, whooping cough, this
Yeah.
kind of stuff that would just absolutely decimate a family 100
Yeah.
years ago.
Right. Well, you got fucking Worm Brain, who's in charge of all that shit. And he's a fucking idiot. So,
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
really riding the coattails of his family legacy of people dying early.
Yeah. But on lighter news, today you and I are talking about the 2017. Can you believe this movie's that old at this point? We
No,
saw
it
it in the
feels
theater, you and
that
I.
I remember, and you please correct my memory because I feel like it's in my brain, but I could have made it up. But I remember when it came out. The only place available it was out was like in the Times Square Regal or something, and you and I had to go to Manhattan to watch it because
We
it went out.
definitely were in Manhattan. I don't. You could be totally right. I thought it was like Film Forum or something like that.
Film Forum. We've seen quite a few movies together, you and I, at like Film Forum, IFC, and Metrograph. But that
Or
one.
Alamo. Maybe this was. Could this have been Alamo?
No, this was before Alamo. Before we got into that. But I remember that it was only playing at like one place and it was really
Yeah.
out of the way, but we wanted to see
And we
it.
missed like the first 10 minutes. I remember that because now when I watch it now, I'm always like, oh yeah, this is the beginning that I never saw.
Yeah.
We're talking
Absolutely.
about Tragedy Girls. Tragedy Girls is directed by Tyler McIntyre, who mostly works as an editor. He directed the movie It's a Wonderful Knife, which is not a good movie. I watched it over Christmas. It's a Wonderful Life themed slasher movie. Not very good. But this is really good. This was written by Chris Lee Hill and McIntyre and based on an original screenplay by Justin Olsen. The cinematographer was Paul Pogorzelski, who does all of Ari Aster's movies. And this
Oh.
is a good-looking movie. It stars Brianna Hildebrand, sorry, as Sadie Cunningham. She is Negasonic Teenage Warhead from the Deadpool movies. And Alexandra Shipp as Michaela Hooper. Jack Quaid is Jordan and Kevin Durant as Lull. This is a comedy slasher movie.
You also forgot Josh Hutcherson.
Uncredited.
uncredited as like the cool motorcycle
Yeah.
ex-boyfriend. Craig Robinson plays a small role in this
Big
movie.
Al. He's great in it. He's great in it. This movie has, it's kind of like if Scream and Heathers had a baby. Because it's a little bit Heathers, it's a little bit Mean Girls, it's a little bit Scream. I always just say it's like Scream if Scream were from the point of view of the killers.
I think it's more, I think it's more Scream than Heathers, but I see what you mean. I don't know, I feel like I'm like, it's not really a satire, it's not quite parody. It kind of goes in those directions, but doesn't really go all the way in either. It's really more of a comedy, but like a really kind of
Yeah.
mean-spirited comedy.
It's more, yes, it's more satire than anything else, I think. I mean, that version of comedy. I do think it's mean-spirited, and I typically don't like mean-spirited movies, but I think, and this is something that comes up a lot with the movies you and I watch, I think there's a queerness to this that I think is interesting.
Yeah, it's almost like you typecast me, Mike, and we only watch queer stuff or weird
We
stuff.
tend to I'm so sorry. We
No,
tend to
I'm kidding.
well we tend to, I typecast you a little bit with horror, but often you suggest horror.
I love horror. Horror
Yeah.
all year for me. I do not just wait till October. Though I do have a question
Yeah.
or a request. It's like I tried talking to someone the other day about what does it mean when a movie is mean-spirited? And
Yeah.
it was kind of tricky, and I was wondering if you could help me with this. Like, how would, because we both said that this movie is mean-spirited, but what does that mean for you?
Well, you know what? I was agreeing with you, but now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not sure. I think the movie is dark, and I don't know if it's mean-spirited. I don't know. When I think something's mean-spirited, I think it's punching down, and I think it's making fun of vulnerability.
This
Like
movie can
mean,
do
think about
that.
like mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but think about like Mean Girls. Mean Girls, right? I don't think that's a mean-spirited movie. I think in the end, it ends up being a movie that the worldview of it, despite the fact that there are mean characters in it, the worldview is not saying that vulnerability is bad and should be mocked.
Well, okay. So if we look at it that way, when I think of mean-spirited, I kind of mean like there is really no one to. This movie wants you to kind of root for the main characters, but the main characters are sociopaths,
Right.
essentially. And
But I don't, yeah.
they get a thrill out of causing harm and violence and terror in people. And the movie wants you to do that too, because the people they kill are kind of, sometimes they're kind of mean or rude to them, but mostly they're not. They're
Most of
kind
they're
of
not.
just, but they're also not necessarily vulnerable. In a way, other than that, they're the ones without the weapon. But like,
Right.
they're not people you feel sorry for. And I feel like that's what I mean when it's mean spirited. It's like you don't really
Yeah.
feel sorry for anybody. It's kind of like
Yeah.
you kind of almost relish the murder and the bloodshed as
Yeah.
the main characters do, and they definitely get like really big thrills out of
Yeah.
it. When I think of an example of a movie that's mean spirited necessarily and not like necessarily cynical. But it can be. I would think of Carrie, the original Carrie,
Yes,
where it's
that is mean-spirited.
everyone is mean, everyone's gross.
Yeah.
You don't feel any s
Yeah.
sympathy for anybody. Even Carrie, who
You're right.
doesn't like she nothing really. She's just a poor girl that's been so sheltered and abused by literally everyone in her life. And then when she takes revenge and murders people, some of the people she murders really did treat her terribly, but a lot of people were just there. And I
Yeah.
kind of feel like it's kind of like
And this
that
is
in
a
a
very
way. But
similar ending, actually, to Carrie.
oh, yeah, that definitely took from Carrie, the
Yeah.
murder spree at prom.
Yeah. I think, if you're not familiar with this movie, let me just say very quickly, it's a horror comedy about two teenage girls that are they're not popular. They're popular, they're cheerleaders, they're very pretty, they're on prom committee. But they are sociopaths and they kill people, and they're on a campaign to kill people because the other thing is that they crave internet attention. And it's called Tragedy Girls because they call themselves Tragedy Girls, hashtag Tragedy Girls. So whenever somebody dies in their class, they like post a bunch of shitty like images and be like, oh, I'm so sad that they're gone. Let's hope, you know, hopes and prayers or whatever, but really they're the ones behind it.
Yes. So I looked up the
Yeah.
definition of mean-spirited, and
Yeah.
the Google AI is mean-spirited describes someone or something characterized by a cruel desire to cause harm or pain, often with an underlying malice or pettiness. And this movie is all about that.
Okay, but let me push back on that.
Okay, let's go.
Firstly, even though these two girls are the protagonists, and we're in some way, you're always sort of rooting for the protagonist, or you have at least an interest in their narrative arc. I don't think the movie is making them out to be good or like cool. I don't think you would ever say this movie glorifies murder, right? Because they're clearly shitty, and the rest of the world knows that they're shitty people. And I feel like the movie knows that they're shitty people and makes fun of that.
Right, but
Might,
mixed.
yeah,
But I
go
would
on.
say, like, it doesn't. So, like, traditionally, and only kind of recently, we see more of this trend of, like, kind of bad guys winning. And even though the movie does not glorify it, and it's really, some parts are really gory and disgusting, but there is a thrill in watching horrible people act horribly. And I think that's what it means by mean-spirited. Like, it's definitely, they're the protagonists, but they are not the heroes, and we're very clear on that from the very beginning of the movie. And in no way do we ever hope that, I don't know, I wasn't rooting for them, but I also wasn't waiting for their retribution. I was kind of just like, let's see where this goes. Like, how far can these two girls take this? Because they're not as smart as they think they are.
See, to me, my personal definition is a mean-spirited movie presents a world that is mean-spirited, presents a world it's message that it's giving the audience is that the world is bad. Like, people often say Always Sunny in Philadelphia is mean-spirited, but I don't, because I think the joke is always on them. I actually think Seinfeld is mean-spirited because the characters are antisocial and the show depicts that as like cool and okay. Whereas in Always Sunny, they're even more antisocial and criminal, even, but the joke is always on them. They are garbage people.
Right. And sometimes they get retribution, sometimes they don't. Most of the time in Seinfeld, they do not until like that last
The last
episode
episode,
where they literally make them pay for it
right.
through this boring trial. But I would say, I don't think there's one right or wrong answer here, because I also think the movie in itself deliberately, like the world that these girls live in, deliberately ignore the obvious signs. Because even the power structures, the sheriff, way until it's way too late, tries to hide any mention of murder. And I think because of that, people are, I don't want to scare people, but of course, in that sense, people are being harmed because you're not doing your job, right? Girls' parents, who are supposed to be their guardians and know them, seem to not know their children at all. And they only have this surface level love for them. There's even, man, I forget their names. I just know one's Michaela and the other is, okay, Sadie. So Sadie's dad, if you notice in that movie, the only interaction, it seems like he's a single parent. And the only interactions she has with her dad are like, oh, dinner's in the fridge or dinner's on the table. And it's like she just like the bare minimum takes care of this grown ass man who is not raising her, but he's just around all the time. But he's just always sitting in front of the television. Like most of the time, he's either sitting on television or standing near her. He doesn't actually do anything. And Michaela's parents celebrate her doing great in these other roles, but they seem to like don't have much interaction with her other than, oh, this is what's coming up. Okay, bye. Be safe. We love you. In that sense, I think the mean-spirited is like so many structures have failed.
So I have two more points on the mean-spirited
Okay.
conversation. And I'm not arguing with you. I think this is just good, interesting discourse.
Yeah.
So one point would be, I think that this movie doesn't operate in a reality. I think that it is a slasher movie. I think that the characters and the victims are all archetypes in a highly stylized, very concrete genre that we're operating in. So even though we've got characters that are killing for fun or killing for their own selfish reasons or just killing because they have no emotions, I feel like what we're really seeing is someone taking this genre that has existed for a while and reconfiguring it. And these girls are really operating in it. Which could be their own crazy point of view, right? Like the killers from Scream, they saw the world as a slasher movie. You know, they didn't see victims.
Oh yeah, and these girls clearly don't. They
Yeah.
really think that they're better than everyone else.
Yes.
Like that they are it's exactly like what media tells us what a sociopath is like someone who feels like they're the only real people.
Yeah.
And they seem to only which is unusual actually for that kind of behavior because it's two of them and they seem to only care about each other.
Well, that's my last point, which is I think that the whole thing can be read in this queer lens of killing represents a rejection of heteronormativity. You know, because even though there's queerness in the movie, I don't think that they're gay characters. I don't think that the two girls are in love with one another or want to be physical with one another in that way. But they share that they're both sociopaths that want to kill. And that is their queerness.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's so interesting though of like when either of them are interested in another man
Yes.
in men, they're the one and it happens to both of
Yeah.
them is like the other is also like really annoyed by it of like this
And
is
wants
just
to
a
kill that
dist
one. Yeah.
yeah and what and this is a distraction for what we do and we you can't be distracting yourself.
Right. They're jealous of when the other one has a boyfriend, but it's not a romantic jealousy. This is outside of our mission, what you and I are doing. We are doing this thing.
Yeah, it was really fresh at the time, and I feel like it's still fresh, but like this was an interesting time post Scream where we're seeing more of these like slasher kind of comedies that really try to subvert certain tropes like that. I think like I know it's really different, but it makes me also think of that Freaky Friday remake where
Oh, right, with Fritz
with
Vaughn.
with Vince Vaughn, yeah,
Freaky, I
we're
think it's
called
called.
Freaky, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of doing something similar of like taking
Yeah.
these ideas and then making them fun.
It's kind of
And
like Mean Girls if they're killers, you know, and not just a clique.
so
It
why don't we?
begins. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry, I was just gonna say, why don't we start at the beginning? Like, how does the
Yeah,
movie begin?
because it begins in a very, I think, subversive way. We see like a kind of lover's lane, or they call it Sweetheart Bridge. And it's, I guess, where the kids in this town go and park their cars and make out or have sex. And we've got Sadie, played by Hillebrand, who she's got a cute little pixie cut. She's got blonde hair, and then but there's like a blue patch in the back. And she's making out with some guy, and they hear something outside, and she's like, "You should go and check on that." Which again, it all feels very much. It reminds me of like the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, like the urban legend of the kids who are at like the make out point, and then the boy goes out. It all feels very archetypical. And the boy's like, but the boy not playing along is like, "Well, why would I do that? Why would I go outside and check on a noise?" And she's like, "Come on." And then he's like, "I don't want to." And then she's like, "Why are you being such a little bitch about this?" So
Oh my goodness.
she threatens his masculinity, right? So then he goes out, he checks, and he gets he ch one he looks one way, there's nothing, and then he looks back the other way, and he gets a fucking machete right in his fucking head. And it's this killer who wears like a black, he's very much, I think, like a Jason. He wears this black hood. It kind of looks a little like the killer from The Town That Dreaded Sundown. But he's not just a killer, he's a slasher. And the girl, the Sadie runs from him, and she's running, and so it all seems very much like the thing you've seen before. But then you see a trip wire, and the killer trips over the wire, and the other friend, Michaela, comes out, and then you see we're in like some garage somewhere, and the killer is tied up on a chair, and they're like, "Oh, we're your biggest fans. We set this up. Oh my God, we've been trying to get your attention for so long. Sadie had to give so many hand jobs to guys.
Should I give like 30 before you showed up?
Until you finally showed up." And what's funny is, like, he's trying to be intimidating. He's like, I'm gonna fucking murder you. I'm gonna cut your guts. And he's like laughing, and they're like laughing with him. They're like, haha, you're so funny. Like, they're not at all scared of him, which is really, I think, interesting and funny. And the plot sort of, we sort of begin the plot. We realize that these girls, what they want at this point is they want him to be their mentor, but he won't do that. So they keep him tied up. And what eventually they do is they realize they'll just go on a killing spree and eventually frame him for it.
Yeah, which was, oh my goodness. Yeah, like I said, when we first saw this, Mike, you and I were like blown away, and
Yeah.
I'm still, it's still really interesting.
I think
Like,
it's good. I think it's, you know, it's not like you haven't seen shit like this before. There's a lot of, you know, subversive slashers and stuff. In all sorts of different ways, like there's this, and then there's things like In a Violent Nature, where it's from the point of view of the slasher. But I think this is well executed. I like the stars, I like the comedy, I laugh. There's a lot that I laugh at in this movie. There's some actually really funny jokes and stuff. Now, did you notice that their town seems to be inspired by Riverdale from the Archie comics?
no, tell me about that.
I read this in the IMDb trivia, which, you know, is, you know, an infallible source, but it actually, I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, even the first boy who dies, he's got red hair, I think, and he's got a Letterman jacket. And I think that sets up, like, this is anywhere USA, and even the two tragedy girls are like Betty and Veronica, the blonde and the dark-haired one.
Okay, all right. That is
And it's like
interesting.
Americana. It's like, again, it's like we're playing on this, you know, it's a slasher movie, but it's also like a teen movie, right? I mean, it ends with the prom, not because of bad writing, but because, of course, it has to end at the prom.
Yeah, no, I interesting. Because I didn't that's no, that's really interesting. I was stuck on, and I don't mean to sound prejudice anyway, but I noticed that all the white guys looked exactly the same in this movie.
Well, we do all look the same. White people do look the same.
I mean, they were all like, yeah, they kind of all had sandy brown hair-ish
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
medium build, except for Jack Quaid, who is taller than every like all the other guys, and
Right.
which
But he's
actually
like
what
Jughead. Even at the end,
he
I think he's wearing a crown like Jughead does.
oh yeah, because he's prom king. But you're
Yeah.
right. Yeah, no. What also is kind of wild though is Jack Quaid looks so much older than
Yes,
everybody.
he
But
does
when
look
you
old. Yeah.
he looks old, but he's only 32. He was born in 1992.
He's just got an old face.
Why does he look 40?
He's got a Quaid face. You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you've seen Scream 5, but spoiler alert, Jack Quaid is the killer in Scream 5, which is so interesting that he does this and then he does a Scream movie where he ends up being the killer.
You know what? He's actually the antagonist in Companion.
I haven't seen that. How is that?
Okay, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I mean,
I've
I'm
heard it
trying not
compared
to.
to Ex Machina.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting companion piece. You know, at the risk of using companion over and over again.
Yeah.
The thing though is like they give away the concept in the trailers. But the movie actually, the way it's structured, you're not supposed to know that the woman is a cyborg.
Okay.
But in the trailer, when you watch the trailer, it actually tells you. So it's weird like that. But it's
Yeah.
very he's very menacing in this movie in Companion, and I think that actually works better. I think he's a better villain than he is
He's good being menacing. He's good.
yeah.
You know, in Scream, he's like the doting boyfriend, very much like a character like he plays in this. But then when it's revealed that he's one of the killers, he turns and I think he's very good as villainous. I think he's very good. He's also the voice of Superman on the anime My Adventures with Superman, and he's one of my favorite Supermans. I think he's very
Oh,
good,
cool.
Jack Quaid.
He's also Boimler in Star Trek Lower Decks.
Yes, of how could I forget? Of course. He's great as that.
Yeah, which he's not a villain in that at all. I guess
No,
he's just
he's the biggest nerd in that.
he's way more versatile than you would think watching this movie. When I remember when you and I watched this movie the first time, we were both, and when we came out of the theater, we were like waiting for the twist to be Jack Quaid was like some sort of undercover cop or something stupid like that, because he looked
Okay.
so old. Yeah, you probably don't remember that, but I remember I'm like, this guy's like friggin' 40, but no, he just looks older than he is. Yeah, but
Scientifically, they call that Quaid face.
Quaid face.
It's a real tragic case of Quaid face. But his mother, he looks like his mother too. His mother is Meg Ryan.
Oh, okay.
He's
Wow,
good. He's
90s.
good.
N
Yeah.
he is 90s heartthrob,
Yeah.
a
Nepo.
rom n nepo baby 90s rom-com, yeah.
By the way, another Scream co connection. Michaela's mom is played by Elise Neal, who was in Scream 2. And she actually was supposed to be the killer, but then there was a script leak on the internet and they rewrote it and changed it so she wasn't the killer.
Wow.
So there's another Scream connection. And then another, this isn't a Scream connection, but another killer connection. The janitor in their high school is the dude who played the killer in Too Many Cooks.
Oh, that's
Remember Too
funny.
Many Cooks?
That was an internet phenomenon for like 3 months
I
in
used to show that
2011.
in my media class, and I'd blow their little minds. And I wouldn't even tell them what I wouldn't even I would be like I'm just I wouldn't even tell them what it was. I'd just show it to them and just watch it devolve and watch them be like, "What?" It was great. I love Too Many Cooks. That's getting old too. Everything we're getting old.
We are old, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm like, when was Too Many Cooks? Like
Oh, I looked it up the other day and I was shocked at what I found.
2014?
God damn.
Wow, okay.
Too many cooks.
What a completely different time we're living in. I don't even, who knows if Adult Swim's even gonna exist anymore.
Is I don't think it's as experimental. Now I think it's just like here's Rick and Morty episodes.
Here's different variations of Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
'Cause they have a Rick and Morty anime now that I haven't seen, but
Oh,
I've
it's
seen
not
ads for it.
good. I tried to watch it. It's By the way, the guy, the actor's name is William Tokarski. He's the janitor in this film, Tragedy Girls, and he's the killer in Too Many Cooks.
He does look like, and no offense to this man,
He
but
looks like a killer.
he looks like a killer. Kind of like, do you remember when we watched that awful Chainsaw movie Pieces? And like
Yeah.
the creepy janitor kind of guy
Yeah.
who is so obviously looks like the villain because it was intended to be a misdirect.
Yeah.
That's what this felt like. It was like I was waiting for this janitor to be a creep or something.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, also do you the another connection. The girls are named after horror movie directors. It's Sadie Cunningham. Her last name comes from Sean Cunningham, the director of Friday the 13th, an episode you and I did on PCMC a couple years ago for Halloween. And the other girl is Michaela Hooper. Named after Toby Hooper, the director of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
He has such an interesting filmography, Toby
Toby
Hooper.
Hooper?
Yeah, because he's done a lot of weird stuff. And I still think very fondly of his TV adaptation of oh my goodness, what was it? The Stephen King one, Salem's Lot.
Oh, right. Yes,
It's a
yes.
little hokey, but I find it very engaging.
Yeah, I
And there is
loved his sequel to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Making it like this parody comedy, I think it was brilliant.
I don't think I saw that.
Watched it's underrated. Actually, it's starting to get more acclaim now, but Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, even though it's the same writer and director, he goes a completely opposite direction with it and makes it funny. It's so good.
Oh yeah, that's not really typical. It also, looking at his filmography,
And
he also did
Poltergeist, now that you make
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, yeah, I forgot about that. Which is
Oh
like
wow.
him doing a Spielberg movie.
Very. Wait, this says he directed Coming to America? What is this guy's
No, that
filmography?
can't be right. I
That
thought
can't be
Coming
right.
to America is isn't that what's his name?
This
Something
John Landis.
John
Wait, why
Landis,
did
yeah.
he come up on this? Stupid internet.
Stupid internet.
stupid internet. Yeah, so anyway, Toby Hooper, very interesting. I don't think this is a horror connection, but the mayor, it's a very short part, is played by Rosalind Chow, who she was Keiko in the Star Trek Voyager and
Oh, really?
or Deep Space, no, not Voyager, Deep Space Nine. Yeah, she was Miles O'Brien's wife.
Okay.
So kind of a very boring
That's one I haven't watched, at least yet.
I really like Deep Space Nine. It's very different because it's on a space station. But
Yeah.
I feel like every time I rewatch it, the last season, I just cut out. I'm so bored. But like leading up to that, I'm always so engaged. And I think Sisko is a great, crazy captain. He's kind of a lunatic. But yeah, anyway, back to this.
I
It's
will get
like,
into it.
yeah.
So here's the problem I have a little bit with the writing, which is I feel like the film never totally bridges the gap between, it never totally decides whether this movie is about two sociopaths who are drawn to kill or two girls that are obsessed with internet fame. Like, they're constantly killing, and that seems to be the thrust of their plot, their narrative. But then it's all supposed to be in service of getting likes and follows and attention on Twitter. But it doesn't feel like, it feels like there's a lot of other ways they can do that. You know, I don't know. Somehow these two ideas are working in tandem, but don't totally connect, at least for me.
They also don't totally pay off. Like it kind of feels almost it's just like, oh, they did it.
Right,
Like
like there's been movies where the point is they want fame. Like these people want fame more than anything, and fame will drive them to kill. But in this, it's they don't seem like fame is what drives them. It seems like they kill because they're killers. They want to kill. They are sociopaths that are murderous. But then there's also this other thing of they want internet fame.
yeah, I kind of get what they're trying to get at, but again, yeah, you're right. It kind of straddles the line. It should go in one way or the other. And I think, I mean, if you look at serial killers in media, like for example, like I think of not Dahmer, who's the other guy who would pretend to like have a broken arm and then just shove someone in their van, his van.
Isn't that
No, he was Dahmer was targeting gay men mostly, but this guy was targeting women. And he had a movie about him starring Zach Braff. Sorry, Zach Efron. To Zach Braff. That would be
Dahmer?
hilarious.
That's what you mean.
Oh my goodness, what was that?
Ted
And
Bundy.
Ted Bundy. Okay, yes. So
Yeah.
Ted Bundy kind of, he really hammed it up for interviews, and also
Yeah.
Ed Kemper did the same thing. It's like they love the attention, and I feel like this movie, like you said, it kind of touches on that, but it doesn't go deep enough for it. I feel like they had to go one or the other. They should have went one or the other and
Well,
not
note
tried
it
to do
is
both.
both can be there, but one or the other has to be the motivation. And as it is now, it's not clear where the motivation is. They're not killing for fame, and it seems like they're killing to kill, and then the fame is just another goal.
But they also seem motivated too. Like they get pissed off when they're not
Yeah.
getting the recognition that they think they deserve.
Right. There's this running gag in the beginning where every murder they do, the police say it's an accident, and they're like, fuck. Like there's a funny scene where the sheriff, who I think is an interesting character I want to talk about, he comes into the classroom. His name is Sheriff Welch. And he's the father of Jack Quaid's character, Jordan. And he comes to the classroom and he's like, and they're thinking that he's gonna like, they're ready for him to say, like, oh, so and so died. So, like, you'd all be like, oh my God, and get like attention. But he's like, anyway, it was an accident. And they're like, what? That's bullshit. And like, it's so fun. I think it's very funny how little they try to hide it. It almost says something about gender and the fact that no one suspects these cute little girls to be killers because they put almost no effort into how blatantly they're obviously the killers.
Oh,
There's no
yeah.
subterfuge there. You know what I mean? There's a
Well,
really funny line later on where they're in Sadie's house and her dad is like this big fat guy with like like wears flannel, and they're arguing, they're talking about killing people, whatever, in her bedroom. And then the dad comes in, and he's like, "Hey, girls, I just want you to know if anything happens, I'm out in the living room. I'm not gonna let any, no psychos are gonna be in this house under my watch." And then he closes the door, and they start talking about murdering again. And it's like clearly they're the psychos.
Yeah, what's funny, I noted this when I finished the movie, is like he is like a big dude, and he is like overweight and he's heavy set, but you also notice he's actually, if he wasn't, and I think this is like kind of, the movie isn't really saying this, but he's really attractive. Like he's an attractive
Yeah, I
man,
think he's a
but
handsome fellow.
they do nothing with it. He's
No,
just
yeah.
he's either standing at the door or standing next to Sadie or sitting in the armchair. Like
Yeah.
it's very weird.
He has a
Yeah,
lot of
but
funny lines, actually. There's a In the beginning, he says to Sadie, like, "Have you seen the cat? Like, the cat's gone or whatever." And then later on at the town hall, Sadie and Michaela are like starting like a little revolution against the police. And then the father just, and they're like, "What?" I forget the setup, but they're like, "And all these murders." And the father stands up. He's like, "Yeah, and taking our pets."
What's funny is like right before the dad mentions the cat, they're cutting up the boyfriend that Sadie was with that
Yes,
was
that's a very
murdered.
dark moment.
It was really dark, and what's funny is like they're not even covering their clothes, but they're wearing gloves and they're just hacking up the boy's body and throwing it in lye, and they're like, "We got this idea from Breaking Bad. We had to sacrifice a lot of stray cats and dogs to get this formula right, but we got
Oh,
it."
right, she kills the cat.
Yeah, so like, oh my goodness. Which I'm really I know that's usually classic signs of sociopathy of
Yeah,
like,
killing animals.
practicing torturing animals,
Yeah.
but I'm actually glad that they don't
Show it?
show or
Yeah.
have them practice, because I hate that stuff. I can't
Yeah.
watch movies with that.
Yeah.
But it's just such a funny throwaway line
Yeah.
too.
But it is a dark moment because it's at the end of the scene where they're first talking to the killer, Lowell, and they got him tied up, and they've got the boy's name is Craig, the one she was on a date with. He's out, he's on like the table behind, and he starts moaning, and they're like, "What? He's still alive." And then they're like, "You couldn't even do that right." And then he's like, "Help." And then she's like, "Shh, shh, there's an ambulance on the way." And then she just suffocates him. And it's pretty dark. And then they chop him up into pieces. And they're so unaffected by it. There's no moment where they're ever like, "Oh my God, we're killing somebody." Or it's just like, it's just nothing to them.
It seems like, and that goes back to what you were saying of like, it seems like the pleasure is in the murder, because there's something like, it seems like Sadie's almost like really excited to see his life be snuffed out.
Yes.
They could have killed him, like finished him off in any way. She decided to hold him down with
Yeah.
and suffocate him, which is really dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting that, like you said about the two, they're like, young, pretty
Yeah.
cheerleader. They're on the cheer squad.
Yeah, they're all the stereotypical things.
Yeah,
The
but
prom committee.
and juxtaposed with this serial killer that's hacking people, that just happens to be killing people around the area that they want to kill people. And he's like this gruff man with no personality and just violent and
Yeah.
huge. But they tied him up, and that's something that's really funny. It's like they took him down.
Right, and they like, well, it's because it's almost like it's oh, it's almost meta because it's like he's like Jason, right? He's like a killer in a slasher movie, and they are not accepting that narrative. Like they should be intimidated by him, but they are constantly like laughing at him. Because they won't play along with him in a way, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, I think well, it's part of that sociopathy. They think they're better than other people, and even though
Right.
they say they admire him, they
Yeah.
really easily trick
They
him,
feed him dog
and
food.
they feed him dog food. And when they're and when the boyfriend that they hack up, like, but when he's still alive, I think Michaela turns to him is like, "You couldn't even get this guy. You were at five. Now you're down to four."
Yeah. Oh, right.
Like they like take away his body count.
Oh, yeah. At one point, he spits in one of their faces, and Michaela goes, "No, bad, no." Like he's a dog.
Oh,
They
yeah.
kind of keep him like a pet. It's hilarious. I want to talk about what happens. There's a motif, which is when the girls decide somebody's gonna die, it's always someone's talking, right? And then that person slows down in slow motion, and you hear them talking in slow motion, and then you see one of the girls' faces like in a close up, and you hear like this percussive like dun 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 dun, and you see a dolly zoom, which is that classic thing from Vertigo that Hitchcock did, which is like you move the camera in while you're zooming out, so you've got the same composition but the perspective changes. Actually, if you watch Severance, which I'm into Severance now, every time they become their innie or outie, there's a dolly zoom. That's how they do it. So you see the dolly zoom, and then it usually cuts to them being like, so and so has to die. So it's like it's how they choose, and it's every time they choose a victim, that's what happens. And they actually do something really cool the first time when it's Josh Hutcherson. You see that, and then they're outside, and then Sadie turns, and then it cuts to her inside her bedroom, and she turns towards the camera. So it's like a matching action cut. So it's like we're following her movement, but we're in a different scene, and then she's like, he's so gotta die.
It's also like so petty in some ways too, of like, oh, this person like minorly inconvenienced me, so I think it's their turn to die.
Right, because his thing was he's doing the exact same thing they are, but from like a guy point of view. So he thinks he's super cool and deep, and he rides a motorcycle, and he's doing all these hashtags about like the kids that are dying, and they're like, oh my God, he's got so many more followers than us. He's got so many more likes than us. And he used to date Michaela. So Sadie's like, let's see if we can get him to retweet one of our tweets, and then that'll help our numbers. So they go up to him, and he's talking to like a bunch of girls that are like, oh my God, I'm so scared. And he's like, yeah, man, feel your emotions. It makes sense to feel that way. And then they're like, hey, we would really like if you retweeted us. And he's like, I don't really know if, oh, his name is Toby, right? Probably also a Toby Hooper reference. He's like, I don't know if Toby really does that. And they're like, well, it would really help if you did. And that's when that's when Sadie decides to murder him.
Yeah, because Michaela's also like
Attracted
fawning
to
over
him.
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, ugh, that's annoying.
The way
Sorry,
they kill him
Toby.
is cool, though. He's on his motorcycle at night, and they're following him in a car. Or one of them is following him in a car, which is making him speed because they're like tailgating him. And then, like on the road, they put down one of those like strips with spikes that will like blow up your tire. And his tire blows up, and he falls down a hill. And then the two girls are giggling. They're always so happy. And then they go and they find him at the bottom of the hill, and he's not dead, but his leg is all the way turned the wrong way. It's pretty fucking gruesome. And they're like stabbing him. And first Sadie stabs him, but it's like in his stomach. And she's like, no, you did it wrong. And then she stabs him again. And he's still alive. And then
Like
Michaela's
you're
like, no, you
hitting
gotta stab
bone
him in the heart. And then she
to
stabs him in the
the
chest. And then somebody else comes by, so Sadie has to go and distract them. But Michaela like looks at him longingly and like starts kissing him as he's dying. It's very fucked up. And then he goes, if I had to be murdered, I'm so glad it was you. So he's like cool to the very end. And then Sadie comes back, she's like, she sees him kiss. She's basically at this point, Michaela's kissing a dead body. And she's like, what are you doing? So that's her jealousy. And then later on, the boy Jordan, Jack Quaid, he obviously loves or loves. He obviously has a crush on Sadie, and Sadie kind of likes him back, but not really. And he edits their videos for them, so that's how they're kind of using him. And he's also the son of the sheriff, so they're getting information from him. And Michaela totally hates him because of her jealousy.
Yeah, so they show both sides, though the Jack Quaid storyline is much longer and
Yeah.
more part of the movie. Yeah, I just think it's really funny that like when the guy in the car comes up where Sadie's pretending to have car trouble,
Yeah.
it's very obvious that she's trying to play up the girliness of
Yeah.
herself of like, oh, I can figure it out. But like he's falling for it, but it's also like very obvious that she's faking it. So it's back to what you said about that gender thing of like people are really just refuse to believe in like girly girls can be into something so much darker.
Right. And it's not just because they're girls or because they're cute, because we would, in film, right, they would be the victims, not the perpetrators, right? You like the amount of guys in this movie that are like, I'll protect you, but they're the fucking problem is so funny. Like the dad does it, Jack Quaid does it. Like everyone's like, oh, we'll protect these sweet girls. But they're the fucking people that they're just murdering everybody. Let's see. There. So let's talk about Jordan a little bit. Well, let's talk about there's something that's re there's like a re kind of reveal at the end, which is at the girls are arguing about Jordan, and at some point Michaela says something like, "Your dad's a terrible sheriff. You know, he never even found the person who murdered your mother," which is like the first time that that's ever mentioned. And then later on, the two girls are arguing, and Sadie's like, "Why did you bring up his mother?" And she's like, "Do you still feel bad about that?" So that's the first clue that something has to do with the mother. And then at the very end, we see this flashback with them as little girls kill his mom.
Yeah, I actually wondered if that was a throwback to Heavenly Creatures.
I thought that too. It totally feels like that, especially because while that's happening, it's like it's filmed in a very sort of slow motion kind of like overlit heavenly kind of like soft way. And what's the song that's playing? Oh gosh, what's this? I wrote it down. Where is it? It's a cover. It's a like very like twee cover of this song, if I can find it. Oh, all I have to do is dream. All I have to do is dream. Dream, dream, dream. And while that's happening, you see it's a montage of you see flashbacks of them killing, and it's that they got his mom to drive them home from dance, and from behind they like choke her. And
It
that's how they
happens
kill her.
really, it happens really fast though.
Yeah.
Like it's hard to tell what exactly is going on. It also makes you wonder, like, was she driving? So they could have been killed in an accident
Yeah, I
or
think she was driving, and they must have ran away because it. I th they think that the mother's death is an accident.
yeah, which
Yeah, it's weird.
that.
It's weird. It's also interesting because it would then le it would imply that they're essentially they're killers at heart. They did as little girls, they killed somebody, and that was their first kill. But again, that also seems like a Scream reference, right? Because the two killers in Scream, before the goings on of the plot of Scream, they killed Neve Campbell's mother in the past. So it's very much like a Scream reference too.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. Oh, okay. Oh, that's interesting. I
Yeah.
think it is more of a reference because it also kind of there's just a lot of plot holes in that, you
Yeah.
know?
It doesn't totally make sense.
Yeah, I think it's more of like this is I think it works more as reference than actual a part of the plot.
Yeah.
But it does it's a question though of why does the sheriff have this recurring theme about him and that he covers up murders?
Right. Interesting. I think the cops are just supposed to be like really incompetent. Let's talk about two other great deaths. There's Syl, their classmate, who is also on the prom committee and disagrees with them on a lot, and also on cheerleading. She actually, Michaela's not wearing the right sneakers, and she's like, "Yeah, you're not wearing the right footwear, so you can't be in the pyramid. I just want everyone to be safe." So she's kind of like a traditional mean girl, and then they decide to kill her, and they kill her in a pretty wild way. Do you remember this, how the scene goes?
It's actually a bit convoluted. So
Yeah.
like so this character created a lending library or the trademark Little Free Library, and they
Yeah.
had it in a display case, in a hallway, and they smash it so that she has to fix it or make a new one. So she's at Woodshop late at night, and wow, it gets a little wild. Like they confront her in masks, and they try to do this not speaking serial killer thing. But
Right.
then when the girl looks down, she sees that Michaela's wearing the same shoes that she chastised her for. She's like, "Michaela?" And they were like, "Come on, man." Yeah, and so like there's these switches that hit the lights and the
They're in a
chairs.
shop, like, right?
Yeah,
It's in
it's
the
like
school. It's like a
woodshop.
shop class. Yeah, it's like wood shop. And for some reason, there's a chain from the ceiling that by accident, not Michaela, I think the girl Syl hits a button, and then the chain from the ceiling wraps around her leg and pulls her up. So she's being pulled up by her legs, so her head is toward the ground. And then for some reason, this chain pulls you across the room, and there's a circular saw going, and her head just goes right through it and gets cut in half. There's a lot of heads cut in half in this movie, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. So one thing I thought it could be, I could be wrong, was that the chain, that wood shop was mixed use for like trade stuff. So
Okay.
like if they had like an auto shop,
Yeah, that
that
would make
chain
sense.
would be holding up heavy car parts. So I
Yeah.
think that's what that was.
Like to
And it was
take an
just,
engine out.
yeah. But
Okay. Okay.
also like what year is this?
It's pretty
Do you
ridiculous.
remember? It is ridiculous, and I think you're right in that it's supposed to be like kind of this, it's more about this unreal world, but like when was the last time woodshop was offered in a high
Yeah, I
school?
know.
Or
And
auto
then
shop, yeah.
the girls are like, we have to make sure this doesn't look like an accident. So they chop her up, and there's this nerd girl character who's like her lackey, the lackey of the girl they killed. And she comes in the next day and she sees like body parts everywhere, and the girl's head is on some sort of like thing where it's spinning around. And there's actually a cool shot where the girl has like Starbucks and she drops it. And you see these interesting like close-ups of like the blood on the floor and the coffee coming together and mixing. Very cool image.
Yeah, this movie has a lot of stylish stuff to it.
Oh, for sure.
The colors, like I think of the intro and the credit scene is very colorful and bright.
Oh, yeah.
There's some cool stuff. So they kill this girl, but again, they're just not caught. No
No.
one's working on murder
Right.
stuff.
At one point, the janitor comes in and, like, they're like frozen, like, oh my God. And then he just doesn't even look at them. He just comes in, gets the garbage, turns the light off, and leaves.
Yeah, usually that trope that's play it's played in sitcoms a lot too, but usually you could see and you would and they'd play the diegetic music of like loud music and headphones, so you'll that you know that would signal to you to the audience that
Yeah.
oh he can't hear because he's lit or he's not paying attention because he has these loud music. Didn't even bother with that. It was just a
No.
guy and like wrote,
He just doesn't give a shit.
yeah.
Yeah.
Wild.
The other really cool kill is Craig Robinson, the Pontiac Bandit. He plays the fire marshal of the town, Big Al, and he's also dating their teacher that they hate. And they decide they have to kill Big Al. Oh, and here's why. There's like a school assembly for the girl that they just killed, the one we were just talking about in the shop class. There's a school assembly for her, and they're like, show like a little PowerPoint of her, and they're like, oh my God, we loved her so much. We were on cheer with her, and it's like they're like reveling in it. And then Big Al stands up and he's like, there's obviously something going on in this town, and the police aren't doing anything about it. There's a murderer. And we should do something. And everyone's like, yeah. And they're like, he stole our thunder. And that's why they decided to kill him, because it was their moment. And then he stood up and took their moment. So that's why he has to die.
Yeah, that was really funny. He unintentionally made it all about him.
Yeah. And then what's funny, and then the whole scene with him is it's in a gym, and he's like a weightlifter, and he's this huge guy, and they're these tiny girls, and like, They're like trying to throw shit at him, and he's like, they throw a weed at him, and he actually grabs it and throws it back. Like, they're both like jumping on his back. He's like way too big for them, but they get him to trip and fall on the weight bench, and then he's got the bar above him. Sadie pulls a pin, and the bar falls and cuts his head in half.
That was brutal.
It's
That's
very, it's gross. And it's
Yeah.
he lets out a very funny high-pitched scream as it happens, like, ah, like he knows it's gonna happen.
He also, they played it in the trailer. There's a scene where he, right before that happens, he throws a weight and it flies across the room and it goes through the glass in the door. Like he was trying to kill them with it. Did you also get a feeling that him and his best friend who owned the gym was there was kind of like it seemed like the best friend was in love with him?
Oh
Did you
yeah,
get
because
that?
there's a character that's like a reporter that I think is supposed to be a little bit like Courtney Cox's character in Scream, and she's interviewing him, and he's like, he says something funny about like, I'll never work out again, or the gym will never be the same, or whatever. And it's like he seems like the jilted lover
Yeah,
or
not the
the surviving
teacher.
lover. Yeah.
And did you see this the logo for the
Oh
gym?
my
It's like
God.
a muscular bicep coming out of a gun.
Yeah. What's the name of the gym is like Gun Busters or something like that. It's great.
Oh man.
Little details
Yeah.
like that.
Yeah, and then like when they're having a school when they're having this assembly and this what was it like a what do you call it when they call like a town hall or
Yeah,
something?
it's a town hall. It's a town hall.
Okay.
The sheriff calls the town. Yeah, and the mayor's there too. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Rosalind Chow. And then when the right in the middle of that about Big Al, they sent a picture of Big Al's
Yeah.
face and with the part of his head cut off.
Yeah.
Like, okay, now they can definitely
Yeah. And then, but then they stand up and they're like, oh, what do they say? They start chanting something. And then it ends up becoming like a hashtag. Oh gosh, what is it? Oh, I'm just looking at the lines here. If the sheriff knew his dick from his donuts, he would have solved this by now. That's a great line. Oh gosh, I don't remember. But basically, they use that they turn the town hall against the sheriff, and it becomes like a protest where they're like marching, and but then you see them and they're like bored marching.
and they're like, oh, we're not even a third of the way there yet. Like, they're all just walking as a group.
So at one point they decide they've got to kill Jordan, and Sadie isn't really want to do it. So Sadie goes over and she's like, he's my friend, I should do it. So she goes over, but then he kind of like explains his feelings to her. And Sadie, more than Michaela, wants to pass. She wants, even though she doesn't really like him, she likes the idea. She flirts with the idea of like just being a normal girl who doesn't kill. And this infuriates Michaela. And then she starts dating. This is where the two girls like break up, right? She starts dating Jordan. And then Lowell, the killer, he escapes from where they're keeping him. And he goes to kill Jordan. And then Sadie saves him. So now she looks like a hero. The sheriff who was suspicious of her is now like, oh my God, you saved my son. And now she's getting more fame without Michaela. They start calling her Tragedy Girl, and she doesn't correct them. And the two girls sort of like break up. But then, like, Michaela, it's prom night, and then you see Michaela's all by herself. She's like, I don't have a date. And then we see her driver of her limo is the killer, Lowell. Like, they're gonna go and like fuck shit up. But it's really interesting, the whole montage of Sadie like passing. Like, there's a scene where they're like in a car and he's like necking her, and you just see her eyes like bored to tears with this boy kissing her. And it, to me, this is the darkest and meanest spirited stuff, because he's so like, you're such a great girl, I like you so much, and she so just does not give a shit about him. And she killed his
Oh,
mom.
yeah, that was dark.
And then
The
the end,
fact,
his the end he comes to is very dark.
yeah, it, yeah, it's a very, it's interesting seeing Michaela by herself because it's kind of
Yeah.
like she doesn't know, she's mad, but it also seems like she doesn't know who she is without her because there's also that montage of Sadie doing normal girl shit,
Yeah.
but like without Michaela there. So like she's doing prom committee, she's
Yeah.
doing cheerleading, and there's a clear empty space where Michaela's supposed to
Yeah.
be.
Yeah. again, this feels queer, right? This feels like
Oh, it's a
one of
breakup,
these,
yeah.
like if it's two girls that were in a relationship and one of them is like, I'll date a boy, even though she's not into it.
Yeah. The thing that it just keeps coming up of how much people are not paying attention to them in
Oh,
different
yeah.
ways. It's so weird. Like, why is there a town car picking Michaela up if she doesn't have a date and she's not going with a group of friends? Even her parents comment of like, no boy asked you.
Yeah.
Oh, I
Yeah.
can't believe no boy would ask you, honey. Like, I'm like, what is happening?
Her relationship with her parents are so funny because they think she's like the greatest girl in the world. And they're like, you're so beautiful. She's like, come on, guys. And she acts like a baby around them, like, hey, dad. Like she's like the perfect, sweetest girl.
Yeah, she really hams it up
Yeah. And the parents dote on her. It's so funny. And they're like affluent. Like they come, she has like a really nice house and stuff. So at the prom, this is the end. It's the prom. Michaela kills the teacher that they don't like, which is a pretty not funny kill. It's kind of scary and dark. And then they kind of go backstage, and Michaela and Sadie are arguing, and Jordan, Jack Wade's character, sneaks behind, and he's listening to everything, and he hears them talk about killing his mom. And then Lowell comes out and he's gonna try to kill Sadie because he's like, I guess, working for Michaela now. Doesn't totally make sense. But then Jack Quaid pushes like a set on, it's like they're on stage, I think, in the auditorium. He pushes like a piece of the set on him and then they run away. They run up to some like high rise above the stage. And then Lowell is like, gonna turn on Michaela and is like, I haven't forgotten what you did to me. And Sadie then is like, and it looks like before that, I should say, it looks like Michaela's gonna kill Sadie or she's gonna have Lowell kill Sadie. And then somebody says something like, oh no, he says to Sadie, like, you're not like her. And then Michaela's like, she is like me and whatever. And he like holds her face and he's like, listen, you're a beautiful person. Whatever happened in the past, I'm sure it's her that made you do it. And then she's like, you don't know anything about me. And then she puts a rope around his neck and kicks him off the thing and hangs him. And he like chokes. He chokes for a long time. He chokes. And as he's suffocating, he's realizing that the girl he's like in love with is murdered him and killed his parent. And then the next super dark moment is you see the sheriff and he's screaming in slow motion. He's like, my boy's in there, he's dead. And then they're like, best night ever. It's so dark.
Well, beyond that, like all that is happening while people are dancing and having a good time at prom, and then everyone gets a text message and it's just a picture of chains on the doors. And that's when
Yeah.
everyone realizes that they're all locked inside and they start a fire. So it
Right.
is so much stuff happening at the same time.
Right. And
And
that's
it's
very
really,
Carrie. And
yeah, it's
again,
Carrie.
it's you're right that it's like how it's so obvious it's them because they're the only two, everyone dies. Like they kill the entire school and they're the only two survivors. But then we see like they're on the news and they've got a book deal and they're like, we just want to be normal girls, but like they're obviously reveling in this fame that they found. And then you see their parents saying goodbye to them as they go off to college. And then Michaela's dad looks at the mom and goes, we did good. Which is so funny.
We're like, we did it. And
Yeah.
well, it's also they just put the blame on this random guy who they identified, but they didn't know who he was the whole time on Lowell, which
Lowell, yeah.
yes, he was marrying but murdering people, but why on earth would they think that he was murdering people and then died in his own fire? Like, it's just it never adds up,
I guess it
but
makes more sense than it's these girls.
yeah, I think it's the movie's world is like cannot handle that messaging, and it just avoids it constantly. But yeah, also, what was the explanation for them being the only two that were alive?
They were outside or something. They somehow were not in there when it happened or something.
I unbelievable. And then yeah, it also cuts to the sheriff in plain clothes saying that he's retiring, he's going to focus on charities to
Yeah.
dedicate to his son. But oh man, you know what we didn't talk about
What?
was when Jordan and when Jordan and Sadie were in his room,
Yeah.
and Sadie was going to kill him, and he stole Michaela's phone because he was suspicious
Yes,
of Michaela. The sheriff was sleeping on the couch in the living room the entire time when Lowell was in their house and all this stuff. And it's, I was like, this is the most ridi one of the most ridiculous points of like the sheriff did not hear any of that happening. Of like,
But
it's heinous.
it furthers the whole theme of them being terrible cops.
Well, yeah, but you know, we don't actually get to know any of the cops. That's what's kind of different. Like, at
Just the
least
father,
in,
yeah.
it's just the sheriff. And in Scream, you at least know Dewey
Do yeah.
as the as the deputy. But yeah, so what do you think of the sheriff character overall?
Going back to the mean-spirited discourse, I think if you were to say this movie's mean-spirited, the sheriff and Jordan would be the two characters you'd want to focus on because they are victims through and through. They both are trying hard to do the right thing. Jordan is trying so hard to see good in Sadie and has all these feelings for her. And in the end, they just dispose of they dispose of Jordan like he's nothing.
Well, I would say that's the folly. That's
Yeah.
the that actually
Okay.
what makes him. I think that that is. I would argue that is mean-spirited because more than anything, he convinced himself of that she was this person who she wasn't,
Right,
and
you
he.
right. He's being this dumb high school boy who's projecting all of this shit onto this pretty girl.
Yeah, despite all like logic, same thing
Right.
with the sheriff is like despite all evidence to the contrary, he's going out of his way to obstruct any kind of justice.
Yeah.
So it, in that sense, I would say that is kind of mean-spirited and
Yeah.
dark.
Yeah, definitely dark.
It's like they're punished for not being in this, being in reality in a
Yeah,
sense.
it's just yeah. Well, as we're wrapping up, I mean, what do you think? Do you think this is a good movie? Did it hold up for you? Do you how would you recommend this movie?
I think it holds up pretty well. Like, because I think it's careful in the sense that it does mention some of the social media stuff, but it doesn't focus on that too much. And I feel like things come and go. Like, we, you know, Twitter's called X now. It's not used really in the same way.
Yeah.
Tumblr, I can't remember if this movie came out before or after Tumblr changed, because Tumblr used to have, people used to share a lot of pornography on Tumblr. And then Tumblr scrubbed everything, and then it wasn't used the same way. So, but I think out because it didn't hinge, like they mention these things, but they're not hinged on it. It doesn't feel that outdated. I think it's fun. I think it can be a little twee at times, but it's kind of poking fun at itself. And I enjoy it. I think it's just a fun night.
Yeah, I agree. I might like it a little bit more than you, although I do see its logic flaws.
But I don't think that detracts from
No,
the
you're right.
enjoyment.
I think it's really good. I think it's not remembered. I mean, it's 2017, and I know like some other horror buffs that like know and like this movie, but it's not like it's on Shudder now, so I'm sure there are more people that are watching it than watched it before. But I feel like I don't know, I wish it were bigger. I don't know. I feel like it's really almost like a hidden gem.
I feel like you probably don't remember when this came out, but it really did feel like it was dumped by the studio because we were in New York, which is, you know, for movie releases, is usually a pretty big city for that. And it was a blip. Like it was in for a very short time and a very limited release. And now it is on Shudder. It's also for free on Prime, on Tubi. So I think it was, yeah, I think it's one of those movies that just the studio just didn't care about and they just didn't distribute it. Because it should, I mean, you know, not everyone can get the marketing budget of, I guess in this day and age, Oz Perkins for some reason. The marketing for his movies are insane. I've never seen so much put into horror before.
I
Like they're
know.
spending millions of dollars on these campaigns,
I know.
and this movie didn't get it either. And it's such a different time, but it is a hidden gem. I will say that. I think it's really right up there with all those other like kind of I think it's just a good, I think it would be like a great night to kind of have Scream, Tragedy
Yeah.
Girls.
It'd be good to watch them back to back and sort of see them through each other.
Yeah, and even to a lesser extent, I would say Happy Death Day. Like, I think it's one of those movies, like, it's in those movies that it's not
Yeah.
excellent, but it's fun, and it's just like, it's a fun time.
Yeah.
The performances are
If it
go
were
ahead.
produced by A24, more people would remember it. Because it
Yes.
fits into that oeuvre, I think, but it's not produced by them.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I would also say Talk to Me. Put them all in a row.
Yeah.
Do a whole teen horror like
Yeah.
night. It'll be
Yeah.
fun.
Yeah. And the actresses from this movie, they still work, but I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. They should be doing more. I think they're very, very good in this. These are really good performances. These are very funny performances. I mean, it's hard. This is a hard thing to do this and to be funny and to, you know.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty yeah, I think they're just so much fun. I'm looking at like some of the other stuff these actresses did. And see, yeah, like you said, Brianna Hildebrand is in the Deadpool movies.
Right.
I haven't seen those. How like big are they?
She's really in the first one a lot. And in the second one, she has a smaller character, but she's barely in the third one. She's in like one scene of the third one.
Oh, okay. It, from looking
She was
at
in, yeah.
well, looking at Alexandra Shipp, and she had a small part in Barbie. She was one of the Barbies.
Yes, I do. She was one of the Barbies, yeah. Yeah. They're so good in this. This movie deserves to be refound because it's a little
Yes.
hidden gem. I totally forgot Jack Quaid was in it. When I was watching, I was like, "Oh shit, Jack Quaid's in this?" I remembered his character, but I didn't know who he was at that time.
It's weirder that he's had for out of all the people in this movie that he is the bigger star.
Yeah,
I'm
who would
not
have
saying
thought?
I'm not saying he did a bad job at all.
No, he's good.
He's good at what he does, but the role was so small and kind of,
Yeah.
I'll be honest, like I feel like just the way it's written, nothing to do with him. You could have put any guy in there. Like it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or I'm not trying to be mean here, but he kind
White guys are basically interchangeable.
of. Oh my goodness. It's not what I meant.
Nadia, I always enjoy talking to you about horror movies. Look up some of the other episodes of me and Nadia have done. We did Talk to Me, and I saw the TV Glow, and a lot of we've done a lot of horror and shit.
House. That was really fun.
House, yes, very good.
Qui-Gon. Yeah, actually, yeah, we do a lot of
Bloody
horror.
Muscle Bodybuilder from Hell.
Oh man, that's
Yeah.
another weird hidden gem too,
Yeah,
but in a
yeah.
totally, completely different way.
Yeah. In more ways, I think you're the horror correspondent.
I'm honored.
But you don't have to be. Obviously, we did The Hobbit recently.
Well, the
Yeah.
trolls are scary in
Yeah,
that.
absolutely. Okay. Thank you. We end every episode by saying,
Go bye bye.